This is David Njoku. You're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier. We're brought to you today by Underdog Fantasy. Please make sure and go visit Underdog Fantasy for all of your pick'em and best ball needs. You can use that promo code ROSTER for a deposit bonus up to $1,000, a 50% deposit bonus up to $1,000. And now's a good time to sign up because your boys, Cody and Alex and the Trash Man and Byron, it's always the week that we get back home from the combine that the first iteration of the best ball cheat sheet, the Underdog best ball cheat sheet, drops over at rosterwatch.com. So make sure and get over there and use the best ball cheat sheet. And also make sure to follow next week when we're at the combine, just in case Underdog comes out with any 40 time markets for the pick'em game. That is an opportunity for generational wealth because we're going to be there to, you know, talking with players. I actually just got some information, Cody, from somebody I was speaking with just now about some Fast Fridays workouts from some of the various camps. And you're going to be, I don't want to put it out there just yet because I don't want anybody getting the information, but we're going to get some really fast times on Shamar Stewart and Walter Nolan. Much faster than you would have thought.
This is the thing. There's not a lot of people in the streets that talk coherently about 40s. So anything that those books can get their hands on, they will.
Yeah.
So I've been very smart and very, very thoughtful in my Twitter strategy, in my conversation strategy on podcasts, because I don't want to like predict something and then go to like, you know, make a bet and it's all of a sudden you can't because it's the number you said or something like that, right around that ballpark. It's going to be a lot of good value, so stay locked in.
Again, promo code ROSTER over at Underdog Fantasy to get that 100% or that 50% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Thanks so much to Underdog Fantasy. And thank you guys for being here. Got a lot to get to, Cody. Combine preview. We're going to be in Indy flying in on Monday, so we're going to be there with coverage for basically Tuesday when it starts, all the way through the end of the next weekend. It's always a monster trip. Certainly looking forward to it. What is it that you're kind of – what are your burning – can I start out with my burning question? It's a weird quarterback year, right? Down quarterback year, interesting quarterback year. But it does feel like we have two guys at the top in Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. It does not feel to me like a year – wherever any of these guys is going to have the luxury of saying, for any reason outside of medical, that I'm not throwing until my pro day. I'm going to sit out on field drills. Do you have any thoughts on this? Because I know Jackson Dart won't. I know Quinn Ewers won't. I know Tyler Shuck came out and said that he wouldn't. I wonder. We always get there and sometimes we're disappointed because yada, yada, yada is not throwing. This guy's not throwing. This guy's not working out. Sometimes it's for injury. Sometimes it's just because they'd rather do it at pro day. Do you think that Cam Ward and or Shedeur Sanders can afford to go there and say, nah, man, I'm out?
I don't think so. Cam would be the one because he feels like his name's a little more out of the area of the field, where like Shador's name feels like it's been more attached to like the darts of the world, and Cam's has kind of been by itself. We've obviously seen the last 2 years Bryce Young show up with his backpack, walk around, not throw. Caleb show up, walk around, sweatpants, not throw. Would it shock me if Cam didn't throw? No. Do I expect him to throw? I think so. If he doesn't throw, though, I think it'll be a pretty good tell that he's a lock, which I think he is already a lock to be the first or second pick in the draft. But I do anticipate he does, because his name, I mean, the weird thing, Alex, I guess, is his name hasn't been in the forefront of anything other than just the fact that like he's just thought of as like, that's, he's going to be a top three pick. That's what it is. Like, does he have anything to prove? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Like, does he have – can he hurt himself? Can he hurt himself is the question, right?
Well, look, I think – I hate to say it. He's – I think he probably could. If he goes, I don't think he would. I think Cam Ward's a good player. I don't think he would go out there and, you know, completely, you know what, the bed. But I do think that there have been times where people have said, gosh, that was a bad combine, or that was a bad pro day, or that, you know, go watch like the Teddy Bridgewater pro day. It's up on the whole pro day is up at Roster Watch, right? People came out of that thing. They're like, what did I just see? I mean, if that was a what did I just see kind of thing, I think it could probably hurt him. But I guess you're right. I guess it would be a big tell. It's like he knows he's going, somebody's moving up to number one to get him, or, you know, Tennessee's going to take him, or whatever it ends up being. He's going to have to throw at some point. It's not like he's not going to be able to not throw at a pro day. Do you think it's more likely that Shedeur Sanders throws than Cam?
See, that's just a wild card. Shedeur himself is just a wild card because, I mean, that's a, you know, he came out and Field Yates did it. You know, Field Yates from ESPN has his show with Mel, and I was listening to his mocker. It's horrible, but he did a mock and he had like audio from Shedeur where Shedeur was like, I ain't going six, da da da, blah, blah, blah. Like he was like complaining because Field projected him six. He's like, I ain't going sixth. And like, I guess if there's like this train of thought from that camp that like,
what, because he thinks the Raiders will trade up, or he doesn't,
I don't know. Raiders. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Like okay. if his logic is that like, I ain't going six. Like, remember like when Deion, obviously I'm a little aged past being coherent at the time of Deion being drafted. I don't even know. I might not even have been born. What year was Deion? It doesn't matter. Anyway, Deion didn't take interviews at the combine with certain teams because he's like, you're not going to draft me. I'm not going to be available when you're up. Right. That's a known thing. So I wonder
kind if of silly because they can always trade up.
I wonder if that's part of the thought here is that like maybe that the Browns already know that they're taking Shedeur, or maybe the Raiders have already said, you know, we're going to do all things possible to trade up to get you at two or three. Maybe the Giants have said, you know, you're not going to fall past us. Like those conversations could have been already had. It's February 18th, Alex. It ain't March 18th. It ain't April 18th. Like we're going to get some more information over the course of the next 2 months, but it's a decision that has to be made. I mean, both these guys are going to have pro days, controlled environments. They both have the same quarterback coach. There is a possibility that if one doesn't throw, the other one doesn't either. Because, I mean, like I said, they're the same quarterback coach. They're good friends. I mean, you can watch these guys throw every single week on their damn YouTube channels. And they're both conversed in this top five conversation way heavier than anybody else is. And they, you know, as some people may not be fans of one or the other, but they're a clean tier ahead of everybody else in the class at the quarterback position. So would I be completely shocked, Alex, if we sit down a week from Saturday at the combine, Lucas Oil Stadium, and Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are walking around with a football in their hands, tennis shoes on, sweatpants, sweatshirt, hoodie, not throwing the football. I would not be shocked.
No bull sweatpants and no bull shoes. If they're still this, I'm guessing they're still the sponsor. For the apparel there at the NFL scouting combine.
Can I ask you one more though? Because you've went on the show with Matt last week and you're talking about it. I don't think we've had a fair shake about it on a show. Travis Hunter. And the fantasy football conversation can be had later. He got the DB notation for the combine. I was expecting this. My question isn't about what's he going to do in the NFL? My question is, Alex, he's going to be out there doing DB work on Friday. How many scouts or how much will it take for somebody to get Travis Hunter to show back up on Saturday night and run some routes?
I don't think it would take. I mean, I kind of think he'll do it. You want to be a big star. You want to do like he's Travis Hunter, he's got a chance to be. We say generational. It's like, it's so stupid because you say every class is a generational talent. All like he actually kind of is. You know, a guy that could play 126, 138 snaps per game, play both ways, be awesome. You know what I mean? At both positions. You know, how good does he have to be at corner for the NFL to say we want you to work out at corner instead of wide receiver, where you thought of as arguably, you know, if not the best wide receiver in the whole land, mm-hmm. but we want you to work out at corner. He's a superstar. And what do superstars do? They do superstar things. And if like, of course he's, I'll bet you he comes and runs routes unless, I mean, the only way that he, the only thing in my mind that makes me think that he wouldn't is maybe since he's working, he's doing combine specific training right now, his on-field work is going to be mainly for the DB drills, right? He would have to be doing the wide receiver drills as well. I don't think he's just going to want to go in there and run a gauntlet or something cold. You know what I mean? Cody, how about this? Can you hop in and hop out? Because your connection is like super bad and like you keep freezing up. So why don't you hop in, hop out, and I will talk about some of these other guys here while we're waiting for. Oh gosh, how do I get this off? Design. What do I got to do here? Just put on this. What is that? 2014. No, week 14 picks. Let's not do that. Let's do that. All right. One of the other interesting ones that I'm watching that we talked about is just as far as the quarterbacks again, just Jalen Milroe. What's gonna, you know, are we going to finally get back to the spot with Milroe wherever he can? Let me see. Cody's coming back in now. All right. So there, let's see if you're better. I'm not sure you're going to be because you're already freezing back up again.
So, what do you mean? What am I? I'm perfect on my side.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But I was talking about Milroe, about how I think that he could possibly, he could possibly be in a spot here to where if he runs super fast, does super well, that maybe get over the bump of the small hands at the Shrine Bowl and or the Senior Bowl, and the fact that he didn't have a good Senior Bowl week, and the fact that he has just such an up and down career. This is the kind of week where if he has an Anthony Richardson week, people can just be like, well, if we're just taking a bet on athleticism, we're going to put him right back up to the top of the heap. I think that's what we're about to see. And that's going to be followed up by a pro day where it's going to be set up for him to look really good and stuff. I think we're going to come into a situation here where Jalen Milroe kind of has a little bit of an upward crest as far as the way that he's viewed by the NFL and by dynasty leaguers and stuff like that. What are your expectations for him going into next week?
I think he's going to test great. I think that's the expectation. That's the knowledge. I'm going to go in and I'm not going to double count any of it, because as a quarterback, I don't think he's better than a late second round pick. But as an athlete, he's going to get bolstered up. And I think if he runs that 4.39, 4.38 that there's rumors he might do, people may try and say, well, this guy's a first round pick. And I'm just not ready to get over my skis on that. Like I feel like I've learned a little bit year after year. You learn every year a little bit more, a little bit more of this. And we've talked about it on other shows, but he's got similar hand size to Kenny Pickett, sub 9 inches. He does not have an super elite trait. Like he's got an elite trait, a good trait in his rushing ability. Don't get me wrong. I fully believe that, but I don't think it's a Lamar Jackson level trait. He has less rushing yards in his career than Lamar had that one year. From a pass efficiency standpoint, he's on par with Malik Willis. From a pass attempt perspective, he threw fewer footballs this year than JJ McCarthy did last year. McCarthy got hammered for that. Pickett got hammered for the small hands. Lamar was praised and was looked at as a running back by some people because he had 1,600 yards on the ground. And I feel like Milroe's not getting any of the flack that all of those other guys got. And the last time we made that mistake was with Malik Willis, who was a double-digit interception guy his last year in college at Liberty, was not a superstar through the whole process, had a better Senior Bowl than even Jalen Milroe did. I just – too many things are not I can't cross enough T's. I can't dot enough I's with Jalen Miller, other than being like, well, he's got this one trait and I know he's fast, but what has that ever gotten us just at the quarterback position? Well, he's fast. Okay. That's not what a quarterback is meant to do.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's get into these evals in a second, but just before we do, so any other combine preview stuff, anybody you think's going to, like, I think Devin Neal, the running back from Kansas, is going to run faster than people think. I don't think he's going to run as fast as he says he's going to run. He says he's going to run sub 4.3, which to me at 220 pounds seems absurd, and I don't see it on film. But generally, if these guys are talking like that, he's probably not going to say he's running sub 4.3 and come in there and run some kind of 4.49. You know what I mean? It's like he's doing his testing right now. He's doing his combine stuff. He's doing his work. He's probably he's probably thinking to himself, and his trainers are saying, man, you're running fast right now. And I just think that in this super stacked running back class, we could get another guy there we could get another player there in Devin Neal, who would then elevate his stock into the, you know, maybe not to where we see the Caleb Johnsons and the Quinshons, and certainly not Omarion Hampton or Ashton Jeanty, but into that same level as like a, you know, an RJ Harvey, or where we're looking at maybe ranking a Dylan Sampson or something like that. Oh, and by the way, dude, wait, something, did you flip something on with your computer?
No, everything's been the same.
You look great now.
I am great. That's the name of the game.
I say it and then you freeze again.
I think you're just force feeding some BS into my computer. But no, I think the event's going to be good. You brought up the Devin Neal thing. I think that's interesting because the only player that I think has ever lied was Kayshon Boutte, who said I said, how fast are you going to run? And he goes 4.3. And I think he went out there and ran like 4.50 for Kayshon Boutte.
Yeah,
and it was like, okay. But other than that, guys I'm interested to see, Abdul Carter is supposed to be a complete freak. We already know he's going to be a top five pick, the edge rusher from Penn State. James Pierce, the edge rusher from Tennessee, who was once looked as a top five pick. There's rumors he might run 4.40 at 245 pounds, which I think could vault him back up into that conversation of being a top 10 pick. Isaiah Bond from Texas. I think that the best value you can get on a guy right now in the sport of fantasy, and the only place you can really, I guess, draft is fast draft fantasy, is Isaiah Bond. And Bond you can get continually in the third round over on fast draft in the Origins draft. Use that promo code Cody. And if he runs a 4.29, Alex, he's going to be a first round pick. So as far as like your stock rising at the combine, I don't know if anybody can gain as much in the fantasy football conversation as a guy like Bond. And I guess if Neal runs in the 4.3s, that would definitely help him at the running back position. But at receiver, I think it's Bond. And then I think Savion Williams, who we've talked about from the athlete from TCU, like just what's going to transpire with Savion Williams? Cause we haven't seen him out of sight, out of mind. And he didn't go to the Senior Bowl, was supposed to. What's he going to look like? What's his measurements going to officially be? What's he going to run? Are they going to use him? You know, are we going to get to see him do running back drills, or is he just going to strictly be a receiver? What's he going to jump? I think a lot of those things come to mind when I think about Savion Williams from TCU.
So we have Ted McMillan on the thumbnail, and we talk about like his athletic testing and his performance in this. I think you and I both have him projected, just watching watching him a bunch and watching the tape, somewhere 4.5. I mean, 4.5 is basically where I would set the over under for him. What do you think about McMillan? I know that a lot of people, if we don't have Travis Hunter as the dynasty kind of wide receiver one in this class, just because we're worried, it's like, well, what if he plays corner and he gets 15 snaps a game or something? It's like, you know, then you're like, we got to be careful about that till we know what's happening, right? We got to be more careful with Hunter than basically anybody else right now. because of the team, you know, other guy, like, look, there's going to be other guys that are going to, like, if Jarquez Hunter ends up going to the Cowboys and somebody who like it, who you might like a little bit better than him at the running back position, like Caleb Johnson ends up going to, what would be a terrible spot for Caleb?
Miami.
Okay. Yeah. Where he's just having to, you know, well, God, but then you could actually see him just kind of taking it everything
over Achane and Wright.
Yeah. Well, all right. So say Miami, it's tough, right? Tough. He's going to gain a lot of, there's going to be, you know, gains and massive losses of value and stuff like that because of landing spots, right? Things are going to get reshuffled for sure. With the same happens at wide receiver, and this with Travis Hunter, it could change wildly, right? It's like, we really need to know where he lands before we start messing around with taking too much Travis Hunter. Whereas with the rest of these guys, you hope for the best. And, you know, with him, it could be like, no, we're just playing him a corner. Then all of a sudden, if you're not in an IDP league, which most of you probably aren't, you got a useless asset that you spent a first round pick on. So obviously that's going to be really important. But if we just kind of take him off the board for now until we know more about his future as a wide receiver, Ted McMillan, I'm pretty sure he's the consensus. I know you have Luther Burden ahead of him for now. I'm still struggling with the Luther Burden, Ted McMillan breakdown here. If Ted McMillan were to come in, and based on what you've seen of him and the fact that it's hard for me to get away from the kind of Mike Evans, Drake London sort of prototype with him. What if he came in and ran a 4.44?
I don't think he will.
But what if he did?
I don't think he will. That's not in the range of outcomes for me. I don't think he has that in his bag. We know from the Friedman's or from Bruce Feldman's freak list last year that he admittedly said, you'd be surprised at what my vertical is. Many people think it's 40 inches. It's closer to 33 and 34. He's been marked at 21.8 miles per hour. That's a 2 mile per hour increase from his first year at Arizona. 21.8 is quick, but it's not pushing 23, which is when you start seeing guys hit that 4.4 and below area is, you know, when you start seeing the 22.8, 22.9. I don't think he's going to be in that range. He's also, I mean, he doesn't also have to, it's not his play style. Like he's going to be 6'4", 6'5". He's going to be 205 to 210. He's going to be similar to a Drake London. I think I got him for a 4.452, which I think is fine. His play style is not, I don't think, something that needs to have 4.4 wheels.
How fast did Christian Watson run? Do you remember?
Christian Watson, I think, was like a 4.39.
Well, I mean, he has
4.36.
He has some similarities to Watson. I admit he's not as fast, but that was a tiny bit of a surprising outcome for him given his size and play style.
Yeah, I think I'm much more reserved on the Tedrell McMillan thought process. Like, I think he's a good player. I'm not in the boat that says he's locked in like top 10 player, top 12 player. But maybe it's also part of my likingness to play style. I like the guys that are between 5'11 and 6'1 and 190 to 205 pounds. I like that, you know, frame. I know that there's room in the league for old school players like, you know, like the Mike Evanses, like the T. Higginses, the Drake Londons, Christian Watsons and stuff like this. I like Equanimeous St. Brown was not, people hated this. I talked about this on a show with Theo Greminger over on Player Profile there like 3 weeks ago. And I said, like, you think about like a floor for Tedrell McMillan, I think of like an Equanimeous St. Brown. And he's like, well, you cannot say Equanimeous St. Brown in the same sentence as Tedrell McMillan. And I said, but why? Why can't you bring – the guy was he ran a 4.48. You know what his genes were. His dad was Mr. America or Mr. whatever it was, Mr. Yep. Universe, 6'5", 214 pounds.
His dad, John St. Brown, was – he said – you just talk about the genes. He said specifically, I remember he used to come on local radio and here in Austin. I even forget why. he was friends with some DJ or friends with one of the sports guys, right? And he even said, like, it was a time when all of his kids were starting to kind of come out and sort of be known on the scene in high school and stuff. And he's like, dude, this was all by design. He's like, whenever you get married, like, he's like, whenever you're like me and you get married, man, you got to make sure that the mama is going to have the good genes to where they get passed on to your kids and stuff too. Like, he's a really eccentric guy, but he did say, like, in looking for his like wife, he's like, he wanted her to be like a good mate for, you know, for what his kids were going to turn out to be physically. And we all know that he's an interesting dude too, where he tells his kids not to stretch and stuff because cheetahs don't stretch and all. he's a pretty interesting dad to have for sure. But
I think that's a real floor comp for him, and nobody wants to hear that. And it's like, that, I mean, Equanimeous St. Brown at Notre Dame broke out at 19 years old. Like, he's got a 70th percentile breakout. He had almost 1,000 yards his sophomore season at Notre Dame. Yeah, he was drafted in the sixth round, and yeah, he's not I think you could say Teterone McMillan's a better talent. 100%. Like, you can go over there to rosterwatch.com. You can read the rookie write-up. Like, this kid was the number two recruit in his recruiting class back in 2022 behind Luther Burden. Like, he's got elite overall length. He's a contested catch guy. He had 29 missed forced tackles this last year. He led college football. Like, he's a productive X. I think he's got the abilities. Like, I've always talked about T. Higgins as like a beta alpha. Like, he's not a true alpha in the sense of like the Moss, the Jamar Chase, this thing I look for. I don't see that in a T. Higgins. I don't see the same thing in Teterone McMillan, which I think is part of why I don't believe the guy is a true X or a true alpha wide receiver, though he'll play in that spot. I think there's hot and cold stretches you saw at Arizona, though he's got this great connection with Noah Fafita. I think he lacks the quick twitch, which is exactly what I'm talking about with the Jamar Chase, Randy Moss, you know, the profile that I'm looking for. I think he's fine. He had 8 drops this last year, which is an increase in the first 2 seasons combined, which worries me because he wasn't catching balls from Spencer Petras or Brady Cook. He was catching them from a guy that, you know,
he's played with since Pee Wee or whatever. Yeah, right?
He stayed at Arizona to play with Noah Fafita, and yeah, he struggled. So, again, I don't think that McMillan's bad by any means, but I definitely don't have him ranked number one in the class.
Better comp for Ted McMillan. My comp, who you mentioned, T. Higgins, or your first comp, Drake London?
I don't know. T. London, Drake Higgins, I think they're both pretty fantastic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.